Welcome to the Shiny Brightly Show. I'm Howard Brown, author, speaker, Silicon Valley entrepreneur, international peacemaker, and yes, a two-time stage four cancer patient survivor and advocate. Each episode will take you from resilience to hope and a whole lot more, because shining brightly does make the world a better place. Be prepared to be inspired.
Hello, it's Howard Brown. It's the Shining Brightly Show. This is the Father's Day extravaganza. I have an amazing guest, Paul Weigel. How are you, Paul?
I'm great, Howard. How are you? Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day to you as well. Oh my God, I'm so happy. I have to tell you, we've sort of known about each other, and then we got to meet out at the Cologuard Golf Classic back in Arizona for March Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month. And I just was amazed by Paul because he didn't come alone. He brought his 12-year-old daughter. She's 12, right?
She was 13 at the time. Yes.
She's 13.
Yeah, she
had
just
now.
Turned.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So she's 13. And it was just, I was like, you bring your daughter to this big golf tournament where there's advocacy going on and the golfers are playing in honor of patients and caregivers and people that have passed. And it's just incredible. So I got to sit down with Paul, meet his daughter, get to know him a little bit, and then wanted to invite him to the show because he's got some big things happening. So it's really, really important that we get your message out. And you've got so many cool things happening that I want to share with my audience. And the first thing is, let me tell you just a little bit more about Paul. So Paul Weigel is an author, a keynote speaker, a spokesperson and communications consultant. He is an 11-year cancer survivor, a six-time Ironman triathlete, and a dedicated dad. That's the most important job, of course.
That is the most important job.
He holds a Master's of Arts of Communication from Arizona State and a Master's of Business Administration in Organizational Development from the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, and a Bachelor's of Arts in Political Science from the University of Puget Sound. So he's an educated guy, right? So this is really great. And the fact that we are both, colorectal cancer survivors makes it even more special to show the world that it can be done. You know, we both got knocked down really hard. Our lives came to a screeching halt when you got those, you have cancer, diagnosis as well. So Paul, let me ask you a question. How do you shine brightly each day?
Howard, it's funny when you said, what is most important, how I shine brightly every day is the time I spend with my daughter. As you mentioned, me bringing her with me to the Cologuard Classic and seeing life through her every single day and getting a chance to see and learn from her allows me to shine brightly a little bit more exponentially every day, every single moment. So really anything associated with my kiddo allows me to shine brightly.
I love that. And I have to tell you, Paul, it goes fast because, my daughter was a freshman in high school when I got diagnosed with stage three and then a year later, metastatic stage four, colon cancer. And it went fast, right? I was not guaranteed that I'd see her graduate high school, yet I saw her graduate college. And she's actually started her career as a TV reporter in Missoula, Montana. So I don't get to see her, except I watch her on TV on the app a couple times a week. So that,
That's
fact
awesome.
that is the shining brightly time. I love that. That's amazing. Why don't you share just a little bit about who you are and your background a little bit?
Sure. My name is Paul Weigel. I, as you mentioned, I am an 11-year colorectal cancer survivor. When I was 43 years old, got diagnosed with a tumor about the size of your fist at the junction of my rectum and my colon. Like you, I was originally diagnosed as a stage three colon cancer and very quickly went into treatment. One of the things for me, I was in my early 40s when I got diagnosed, and I had had symptoms for years and had talked with my doctors, and my doctors hadn't totally paid attention to it, in part because, as you mentioned, I was an athlete. I was doing all these other things that doctors would not assume that I would be ill in any type of way, and yet I was getting more and more incrementally sick. Now I'm 10 years later, or now 11 years later, And as my daughter has gotten older, she was 3 when I was originally diagnosed. And as she's gotten older, she started asking some more questions about what that time was like. What did it mean to be a patient back then? And I was able to pull together this book and I've been writing this book called Iron Dad. And it really has become this wonderful testament to her of how important she has been in my life and how great my life is now moving ahead 10 years later with her a part of it.
It's an amazing story, the fact that she's taken such an interest in your journey that way. And also, the fact is, the Iron Dad stands for a bunch of things. There's a lot of
It
symbolism
does.
in that, right? And so one of the things that your happy place happens to be triathlons. And so you've run 6, and you ran some before you were sick, and now you're running after. That's incredible.
Yes. Well, but Howard, we're all incredible, and that may be part of the shining brightly part. For me, when I had done my first Ironman before I was sick and before my daughter was born. But when I did an Ironman triathlete 6 months after finishing chemotherapy, and part of that was because we've talked about the relationship with my kid and with Natalie, that I wanted her to see and experience that love and that passion for me too. And I've continued to do that years later. And this year, actually, as we're finishing this recording, I've just finished 2 half Ironmen, and then in October I'm going to be doing another full one because life is about living and life is about taking it and pushing ourselves to new limits. And so many of the lessons I learned while going through treatment have been lessons I've learned through work, but have allowed me to continue and persevere through things like the race. So I'm very lucky for those who are religious, I've been blessed. For those who are not, I'm very lucky.
Yeah, so it's funny. I say the same things. I look in the mirror, and my mantra is, I am blessed, I am grateful, and I am lucky to be alive. Let's go help people
Yes.
today. Let's go help people today.
Yes.
So
Well,
go ahead.
the going and helping people, that has been a big part for me as, I had written this book for my daughter ultimately. And it's only and in January I started talking about, does this story make sense to help make people's lives better? And all of a sudden people started saying, this is a good message about fatherhood and really helps people think about being ill or taking care of their own health in a different way. So each day for me has been tremendous as I've gotten the chance to be able to talk about being a survivor, about having hard conversations with your doctor, about being your own healthcare advocate. And that has been a really neat exploration, every day that I'm just lucky, blessed, all those different things.
So it's we have so many we're aligned in so many ways and so many
We are.
parallels because we have daughters, and also I've been playing basketball my whole life, and I had to prove to myself I actually played basketball during treatment with a chemo port. Not advisable. Okay, doctor's like, what
Right.
are you doing? It could get pulled out, you'll bleed out on
Yeah,
the
that
court.
elbow right there,
yeah
right?
yeah
Just, yeah.
I would protect, I would cover it up with my hand, but again, I had to prove to myself, and that's our happy place. And
Right.
you have to go to your stress-free zone. And I tell everyone, I don't care if it's meditation or yoga or cooking or travel or hiking, find your happy place or art and go there, schedule it in, go there often. And
Right.
the fact that you and I, both before and now after living through what we have lived through, in as far as radiation, surgeries, treatment, and chemo and all the side effects, and we're still doing it, that's cool, man. That is really
You as
inspirational.
well.
And I'm just
Thank you.
so I'm so impressed, Paula, that it's just incredible. Now, I do want to shout out a little bit. So Paul and I, we've decided that because we're so blessed and grateful to be alive, we take time, and we actually, I'll give shout outs now. So we both have done great volunteer champion work with the Colorectal Cancer Alliance. You've done a little more work with Fight CRC than I have, but great organization. They plant flags on the Capitol, and they're big into grants and research and advocacy at the government level. And then also Man Up to Cancer. This is really a cool
Which
place.
is
This is
incredible.
it is it's all psychosocial help for men, because men tend to isolate. Men don't get screened. Men are tough. We're macho, right? This is an amazing, growing community of really caring guys that got your back. And some of them are like Paul and I, that are 5 steps ahead on our healing journey. Others are just starting out and got the bad news of having cancer. And I found it to be a very cool place. And in Arizona at the Cologuard Classic, got to meet in person, like 20, 25 guys. It was really quite incredible. So shout outs there for that as well. What I want you to talk about though is the book, because you actually, in talking to your daughter and explaining to her kind of what's going on there. So give me kind of the genesis of the book, and it's coming out soon, in a couple of weeks. So I think we're mid-June. So tell me about this.
The book has been really an 11-year labor of love, right? That while I was going through treatment, being diagnosed at the advanced stage I was, I mean, it was stage 3, and that there were some signs that I might be a stage 4 patient, and that I was incredibly concerned that I was not going to be around very long. And so as I was going through my treatment, I actually wrote a blog. And that blog showed all my different experiences, my time, how I felt, what I was dealing with at work, while I was dealing with side effects, trying to balance out driving. We lived in Seattle at the time, driving into work, working part of the day, then driving across the city to get radiation and chemo, then driving back home to try and be a dad. And so it started with this blog. And then, being a cancer patient, as you know, Howard, is hard. And to have that ongoing conversation for so long was overwhelming for me. So what I did was I took this blog I had and I packaged it up. And I certainly had it printed out, but I took my digital copy and I put it all on a shelf. I was like, I'm not dealing with this for a long time, until I'm really ready to tell my story. And then, as Natalie has gotten older, and as some of these things that they continued to explore on my tests finally were cleared, and I was finally given my no evidence of disease card, not, I call it my no cancer card 9 years later, that I felt that I was in a position that I could really tell the story. And so ultimately, what I did was I took this blog and I started saying, now, how can I explain to Natalie some of this time? And as I started writing it, I realized that I took a step back and it started explaining how important she was to me in my life and some of the trials and tribulations I had before she was born. And then the fact that once she was born, I had something to live for. And when I was going through treatment, I thought so many times to myself, if I had been diagnosed just 3 or 4 years before she was born, I don't know how much I would have had to fight for. But that all of a sudden, I really had her to fight for, that was an inspiration that helped me to shine brightly, to help me have hope and to feel like I had something to go for. And the book continued to evolve into what's become Iron Dad, as you said, is a complex answer. It talks about being an Ironman triathlete, but it also talks about the perseverance of getting through life every day as a parent and doing the different things that we need to be engaged for our daughters, whether you are watching your daughter on a download or whether I'm watching my daughter during her middle school graduation. So the book has really become, it started as a blog 10 years ago. It evolved as Natalie started asking questions and then has really morphed into a story that hopefully is inspirational for others as we're dealing with the issues of colon cancer now. That was one of the things that has been fascinating to me in the last few years. When I got diagnosed 10 years ago, we didn't talk about colon cancer. We didn't have many of the things that was going on. And in spite of the fact that we've made so much progress in colon cancer awareness or in discussions with doctors, we are still so far behind in terms of what we need to do to make sure doctors and patients are aware. So I'm wanting to really to be able to help share our stories so that people are having those conversations with their doctors and are being more aware of what's going on in their body.
I want to stop right there, Paul, for a second, because first of all, the people that are on video will see that, and when they see a copy of your book, you're holding your daughter's hand in a heart on top of the Iron Dad. And
Yes.
this is why this is such an important Father's Day issue, because relationships, okay, dads with their children, dads with their spouses, significant others, family members. But when you get this cancer diagnosis, emotionally, physically, sometimes financially, your career, and in
Right.
relationships, that all gets thrown into a blender sometimes. And I will tell you this, at over 153,000 in the US will be diagnosed, maybe 2.2 million worldwide. Okay. A third of those patients will actually die this year from colorectal cancer. It's the number one killer for men, number two killer for
Number
women
two for
under the
women.
age of 50. This isn't an old man's disease, a grandma and grandpa's disease anymore. And so
Right.
The one thing that I do, you see me walking around with my blue sneakers, and I'm always wearing blue. I have a blue shirt on today. But what I do is I want people to get screened, and you do too. We
Right.
don't want you to get
Absolutely.
this disease. Don't get it, right?
Well, and that's the part, I mean, the getting screened is so easy. And especially when we're looking at, I had symptoms for 5 years before I got diagnosed, and I had even talked with my doctor. And if we had just done some of those preliminary evaluations, that how much that we would have found my cancer when it was an early stage or even a polyp, and that I wouldn't have had to go through all this. But there are still so many people all the time that they have symptoms, and if they go in and talk to the doctor, their lives will be saved. So absolutely, the more chances we get for people to think about getting screened, the better.
Well, I mean, if I would have been screened at 40, we might have not met, Paul. But we'll shout out to the Cologuard and Exact Science folks, so you can poop in a cup and send it to the lab. And then, if you
Right.
do test positive, you do go get a colonoscopy, the gold standard, to snip a polyp, and then move on with your life, hopefully, and not have to go through the stuff that we've gone through. The next is
Right.
that there's going to be over 100,000 in the U.S. in treatment, and you and I know what that is feeling like. So we have the advocacy orgs, and especially Colontown as well, that walk hand in hand with the
Colontown is a
patients.
great group.
With the caregivers, and to be able to have the information to be able to make decisions. It's a complex thing. And you hear all these ABC soups of names and acronyms. You got to learn it, and you got to be a smart patient. Smart patients collaborate with their care teams and their oncologists and their surgeons to make the best decisions in front of them. And then
Well, and
lastly,
how,
go ahead. Yep, go ahead.
oh, you mentioned all of these different groups, whether it's Colontown or Fight CRC or the CCA or A Man Up to Cancer. That was something that wasn't around 10 years ago, that I really felt that I was going through my battle alone. That yes, there were a couple small groups in the Seattle area, and but they were like 10 people. And to really have big, deep conversations, especially men trying to talk through what does it mean to be going through this treatment, just wasn't there. And I felt alone on an island so much of the time going through. I think that's probably part of the reason I had my blog, was I was trying to get out there and say, this is what this experience is like. I'm sorry, I interrupted
No,
you.
I was
We
just gonna
both get
let.
passionate about this.
All good. No. Listen, this is a free format, show, so we can talk over each other. But the last thing is that we there's people that are gonna die from this disease, right? And so I always
Right.
memorialize when their cancer burden is too great and they get called to heaven. You just don't know when that time is up, so you have to be able to get back up again. And that's the beautiful thing, Paul, that we prove every day that we can get out of bed, we can actually live real productive lives, be loving dads, and husbands, and family members, and be able to be productive, but also show you what can happen. Okay. It doesn't happen for everybody, and we don't take it for granted, for sure. And so
Right.
what I wanted to ask you was that, in your book, I mean, you're basically living your life now. What does Father's Day mean to you? And I'll tell you what it means to me as well.
Howard, every day is Father's Day. I just feel absolutely so lucky every single day to see Natalie, do more and explore and yes, she is a teenager now and she can be a total pain, but at the same point of to know that I'm around and that I get to see life through her eyes. One of the things you mentioned a little bit ago of life being thrown into a blender of my of since I was diagnosed, my career changed dramatically. I've chosen to pretty much stay at home, working in jobs so I can see her every single day. That I was the dad who walked her to school and dropped her off at the door and picked her up, or would go on all those different field trips so that I want to have every single experience in spite of the chaotic world that I've now been forever immersed into.
I love it. So I Father's Day to me is a way, it's one day out of the whole year, and I am with you. Father's Day is every day, right? And I just think it's a way to show appreciation back to for being loved unconditionally, showing a legacy, showing what is possible. It's just it's important. I want my daughter to know that that she was part of the reason that, and as you said, that we're alive today, is that wanting to see them. And so, I wanted to see her graduate high school. I wanted to see her graduate University of Michigan. She did. And I put it out there. When at the right time, I will walk her down the aisle, because life's about making memories. Now those are the important things in life and all that. So it's just so important that we do that. And for all the dads out there, this is your day. Sit back, have a cold one, have a hot dog or a burger. But remember, every day is Father's Day, and fatherhood and is really important. Stable fatherhood matters. And we if you need help with that, we Paul and I can give you a good direction. And you don't have to have cancer to be a good dad, that's for sure.
That is for sure. Well, you have your story of when you were told you had cancer and when you heard those words. And I had the same thing for me that when the doctor told me that I had a tumor, my first thoughts were all those different things I was not going to see Natalie do. What was I even going to see her start school, let alone go to prom or get married or have her first job? And so it was an apocalyptic moment to be thinking through not what was I, not what was I going to miss outside of that, but to see through her. And so that she has been a wonderful source and inspiration to me as we've gone through the last 10 plus years.
I want to tell you how excited I am for you. Okay. Cherish this moment. You have and will be a published author and have a book coming out in a couple of weeks, mid-June, right? You started your own podcast. You have your own platform. You're spreading your advocacy and your message out there. You're speaking on stages, right? You're a communications expert. This is really a beautiful time. And I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you sharing that with everyone to show you that you did get back up again. You are like me. I'm Humpty Dumpty version 3.0. You're putting your pieces back together again, but you're lifting up others, and that's what my whole show is, and my whole Shining Brightly movement is as well. So I just want you to take in a deep breath and appreciate this, what you're doing, and it matters. I'm just telling you, it really matters. And you and I will help promote each other and share that with it. But I'm very proud of you. It does. This is not
Thank you.
easy to be published and to get out there and to share your voice. And you are a role model for Natalie, but also for others, and including others that are in the journey of going through cancer right now too.
Thank you.
So go ahead. You have
Oh, I
anything to
was
say?
just going to say, just the you do this, we both do this. This is a labor of love, and then I know we're going to put on our sunglasses here in a second,
Yeah, we are.
We are spending a huge amount of time and energy trying to help make lives better and to help people think and that there is the power of positivity and there is hope and there is you can dream and have a wonderful future and a wonderful life. And I'm just so happy to be here with you today. So thank
Right.
you.
And so let's put on our glasses, because it's the Shining
Yes.
Brightly spotlight.
It is the
And
Shining Brightly spotlight.
the answer is that it's a team sport. Life is a team sport. Fighting cancer is a team sport. It's a team sport, and we're a team. So, Paul, the
Yes.
Shining Brightly spotlight is on you. Okay. I want Pete to tell people how they should best get a hold of you, and then share some final inspiration and kick the show back to me for a close.
All right. To find out more about my book or any of the things I'm working on, just go to www.irondadbook.com. You'll find different resources there, as you mentioned, our podcasts, as well as contact resources for how to get in touch with me. So thank you. My parting words for everybody and anybody is not only shine bright, but fight like hell. I mean, be your biggest advocate, live your life to the absolute fullest. That's what you mentioned being an Ironman triathlete. That's what I'm trying to do every day is push the edge of that envelope so that when I'm looking back on my life, hopefully in 50 years, that my last moments are just of wonderful, tremendous experiences.
I love it. And I will tell you this, for those of you who don't know what an Ironman is, you are swimming a mile, maybe two, or and then you're biking 20,
112.
112, and then you're doing a full marathon after that. That is, listen, I go 2 hours in the basketball court. Paul, that is incredible. You are Iron Dad, and I am so happy you're here. So Shining Brightly, this show is every Wednesday. You can find me at shiningbrightly.com and plenty of information about my book. Also, thank you, Paul. I've endorsed your book and I can't wait for it to come out. And also, my speaking, if you want me to speak to your and put on a great show, motivational speaker, and teach a little bit too. And then also, my advocacy. My advocacy is so important. And Paul and I share this. Cancer advocacy for screening in treatment and survivorship is everything to us as well. I also
Yes.
mentor entrepreneurs, and then my interfaith work is vital because we live on a planet where we're all not the same. And I tell everyone to choose not to hate. And so those are my three kind of lanes that I play in. So find me at shiningbrightly.com. This has been an incredible show, Paul. You are just a friend and truly an inspiration. And just remember, if we choose, and we do, to shine brightly just a little bit each day for ourselves, go lift up others in our communities, in our neighborhoods, yes, the world would be a better place. Again, Paul, thank you. You've been outstanding. I can't wait for your book and to check out your show.
Thank you, Howard. Appreciate your time. You are too.
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Shining Brightly with me, Howard Brown. Come interact with me at shiningbrightly.com. And remember, keep on shining.